this and I learned it very well. Now I know you're not the only starfish in the city. If I never hear your name again, it's all the same to me. And I think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. I confide, for you I'm just an ornament, something for your pride. Always running, never caring, that's the life you live. Stolen bits of your time were all you had to give. And I think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. The stories in the past, with nothing to recall. I've got my life to live, and I don't need you at all. The roller coaster ride took years nearly at an end. I bought my ticket with my tears, that's all I'm gonna spend. And I think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. Oh, I think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball.
John, how are you? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for asking. Thought you'd never ask.
What'd you cook?
I didn't cook anything, but I have a new chair. I have a new stool. I like these stools in the studio. This one has a backrest, so I can kind of sit back. The other one was one of those round, kind of short stools.
Like a bar stool?
Kind of short, though. I don't know why. It was like a doctor stool. And I had that for a long time. I liked it.
Well, that's peculiar.
I know, but it's, I don't know. It's not the largest area. I mean, I have a studio. It's an L-shaped desk with computers all the way to the right. And
Adam
screens.
Likes the podcast standing up.
I can't do that. I can hardly work standing up.
Standing up.
I could hardly stand up standing up, to be honest
it's
with
an
you.
Old radio guys. A lot of radio guys stand up.
They do, but they hunch over. They're not just freestanding.
Yeah, they're freestanding.
And they're probably touching the microphone all the time, moving it in and out.
Most of these guys are touching the microphone
all the time. All the time. In and out, yeah, moving around.
Yeah, wiggle it here, wiggle it there. It doesn't do shit.
All right, let me do my usual things that I need to close. And, oops, there you go. And look at my levels. That's good. That's good. I feel like I'm not in the right spot, though. Let me move over a little bit here on this new stool. All right, there we go. All right, here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it is the 27th last week of what is it? What month is this?
It happens to be January.
2026.
I know. That's fast already. I mean, I know we talk about the stupid things, how fast things move, but this one was fast.
Yeah.
January's gone. A lot of, you know, I think that one of the reasons is that there's a lot of things going on. I mean, there is no moment to rest when it comes to the news these days in the financial markets. Something crazy is happening at all times. Last week we had Davos. I talk about that, right. What we learned from Davos this year. This year was interesting because I found that there wasn't one main cause. A lot of times they talk about in Davos, they have to have these causes. And there's some other things.
Eat bugs or climate change.
Climate change is always a big one.
Or you will own nothing.
Occupy Wall Street. You know, that whole concept. How about this? The inequity. That was a big one, right?
Yeah.
For a while, the financial inequity. We're going to talk about President Miyagi. Remember him from The Karate Kid? He was where he told his student how to wash the car and how to wax the car. It was wax on, wax off, Danielson. Wax on, wax off, Danielson. Remember that?
No.
No, well, that's what happened. You turn to the right, and then Daniel, who was the student of Mr. Miyagi, he was fed up one day. He said, you know, I've been washing your car for days. You tell me to put the wax on, the wax off. You tell me to wash this way, that way. You know, you tell me to slide this way and sweep the broom this way. It's crap. I'm supposed to be learning karate. And Mr. Miyagi says, you have been learning karate. And Danielson says, well, no, how? He says, I'll show you. Put your hands up. And he says, okay, now wax on. And he moved his hand a certain way, like in air, and he showed him how that move was a karate move. And wax off, and the sweeping. So anyway, little story about The Karate Kid, which was probably Ralph Macchio, one of the worst actors ever to come into this world. But it was a great movie. And President Miyagi is the tariff on, tariff off president. Tariff on, tariff off. That's what we had this week again. As a matter of fact, even some this over this weekend. That was tariff on and tariff off. January stocks trying to finish with some gains. The earnings that have coming out this week from Tuesday, already Tuesday for this week, have been pretty spectacular. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about what's coming up. But Seagate, remember, these are companies with the Western Digital, and Seagate was like, well, who wants that? Remember that?
Yeah, they're boring.
Storage companies. Seagate was, I think, the number one stock in the S&P 500 last year. And Western Digital is not too far behind. They're both up about 30-40% this year already. And after hours, they're both up about anywhere between 10-14%. Seagate absolutely blew the doors off of earnings.
That's people good. Are buying a lot of those big terabyte. The one out now is the 22 terabyte hard drive.
Well, the thing is, they're also supplying for base machines, and the machines, you know, need.
Well, they're also supplying. Aren't they supplying for these large data centers?
Yeah, for the rack mounts and data center machines. They all need some form of storage. They're not just not NVIDIA chips. There's more to the machine than that, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, because stocks are trying to finish off with the gain. They've been vacillating a little bit. And really, to be honest with you, until I would say this week, they were kind of like questionable whether or not they were going to finish in the green. We'll see what happens because a lot is happening this week with regard to more names that are coming out. And we have a list of those as well. Today, the S&P 500 did finish at an all-time high. Once again, defying odds that a lot of people thought was impossible.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable.
I got clients writing me that they're nervous. They're nervous.
Are they
things
nervous?
Things are so good. Things are too good. No, things are too good.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a concern.
Yeah, how could it be this good? Can't be this good. We're going to have a crash. We're going to crash. Markets can't be this good forever.
It is going to crash because it always crashes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all timing.
Right. And the problem is
that it might crash 10 years from now. It could be
right
Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the trick here. The problem with markets is that most people, including me, including you, want markets to move higher because it's good for all of us.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of these people that are permanently biased to the short side. And look,
that's very rare. It's hard to do.
It's very difficult to do. And if you did it over time, if you did it market-based, you would be not only out of money.
You'd totally be out of money because the trend for 1,000 years has been up.
Exactly. So it's been.
You got to find shorts. Finding shorts is like, it's fun, but you know,
That's a good point. It's fun. It's a hedge. It's an opportunity. There are some ways to do it. But I would ask everybody that's listening right now to go to a stock chart and instead of looking at the stock chart from a 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, go 20, 30 years and look at it. The little blips that you see are the horrible crashes that happened in 87, 2008, and in maybe 2020.
Yeah.
And there's a few years in there too. But generally speaking, it goes from bottom left to top right.
Yeah, and those are little, the crashes are little blips. When you look at that from 20 years, yeah.
So,
but 30.
What does that tell us?
It's going up. It's going up.
Right.
It's going up or it's going broke.
Everybody has the incentive to make it go higher. Companies, governments, individuals, everybody wants markets to go higher. And then you have mechanics of the markets that I've talked about a lot on the Disciplined Investor Show, which airs every Sunday. And the Disciplined Investor Podcast, by the way, the longest running independent financial podcast out there.
Is that right?
It is.
That would make some sense.
Yeah. So when you look at the mechanics of the market, in particular, look at all the people that are working. When you have all these people working, what does it mean? Each and every week they get their paycheck. Each and every week, part of it goes to the government. Part of it goes to their 401k usually, and part of it they take home. That part that goes to the 401k is probably going to be invested partially, or if not more, into equities. Domestic, international, whatever it is, right? That being the case, that means every single week there's like a stock buyback program going on by the masses in the billions and billions of dollars. What you have to look out for is when all of a sudden the unemployment rate starts skyrocketing. That being the case, a lot less people are putting money into the market. They're no longer getting paid. 401k is not being funded. But right now, we have 4.4% unemployment rate. That means, just to be clear, about 96% of people are working.
Well, those who can work.
Yeah, okay. Still a lot of people that are working. And they are all contributing. So something to think about when you're thinking about, oh my God, the market is going to crash. And by the way, if you do believe the market's going to crash and you do believe that the fundamentals are wacky right now, as they come funny mentals. If you believe that the charts have gone parabolic and stupid, and you decide, you know, I'm getting out of the market entirely, you need to do so with a plan on when you're going to get back in if you're wrong. That's the trick, John. How do you know? Because what happens is
if you're wrong, that ruins the idea, because if you were wrong and you got out of the market prematurely, basically just get out, and you were wrong, now how can you assume you're ever going to be right again?
Not only that, if you're wrong, but you believe down to your britches that the markets are overvalued and they keep going up by another 10%, you think, you know what, now I'm definitely not getting in.
Right. Yes, you talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, no way am I getting in now.
Yeah, if I thought it was bad when I got out, it's worse.
And what happens when the market goes down 20%? What do you say then?
They say, I knew it.
I was right, and it's going lower.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm getting in.
Right, you're out for good. Yeah, you never get back in. It's hard to get back in.
We've been really successful with 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Have I ever told you about this? I don't know. But starting in probably back in COVID times, 5 years ago, I came up with this idea that we need to sort of approach this a little bit differently because people are so nervous. But I explained to them how we can help them through a process of dollar cost averaging, get into the market, get back into the markets through a process. It's a dual pronged approach to get back in, 1 foot out, so that you don't have to panic that all your money's at risk and that you're, but on the other hand, be miserable that you're missing out on. And if things go with you, you're making money. If they go against you, you're not losing that much. So that's going, that went well. It goes well. People appreciate that kind of process.
That is a technique. Yep. It's not what Buffett does.
No, Buffett buys and that's it.
Buys and holds. And when he gets out and he doesn't worry about it one way or the other. Right. Goes up, so what? If it goes down, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, he takes an emotion out of it. That's the key. That's the real key.
Yeah.
Have a plan and execute.
Correct. And if you're wrong, readjust. Adjust. All right, so it's a big week for earnings. We talked about that. Fed decision. The Fed is meeting today and tomorrow, and they're going to come out with their rate decision tomorrow. For the most part,
what's the consensus on this?
Pretty much it's a nothing burger. There's very few that think that the Fed is, at this point, inclined for a lot of different reasons, one being the GDP at like 5%, productivity at 5.9%, and all the other numbers that we saw, manufacturing getting a little bit better, unemployment hovering in a reasonable area, initial claims still at about 218,000 on average. So, you know, when you look at that and you look at the ISM composites, all the things that go into and the inflation numbers, nobody really believes the Fed is going to do anything at this meeting. They'll talk it up a little bit. One of the interesting things that's going on right now, the dollar just hit a four-year low. And the dollar pretty much cascaded down over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And in particular, after President Trump was asked about the dollar, he says, I don't care about the dollar. I don't care. It's good. Things are good. It's going down. It's fine. That's not usually what you hear from people in charge. Usually it's, we have a strong dollar policy. The strong dollar is in the best interest of the United States government and our nation from an economic standpoint. That's not what he did. Dollar fell about 1.5%. That's a huge multi-deviation differential than you ever see before. You don't usually see those kind of moves. But in a way, I kind of agree with him. The fact is that we always have known that a weak yen has been very good for
Japan.
For Japan.
Yeah.
It's good for their economy. The stock market just rides right along with that. And they've been basically, you want to call it, the market has been fine, but the yen has been riding lower for years. And we don't call them currency manipulators, of course, but
yeah, at one time within our memories, the yen was 100 to a dollar.
Yeah, just talking about 50%,
150.
Yeah, 50% debasement of that currency over the years.
Yeah, and nobody's really complaining about it,
right?
Well, except our car companies.
Exactly.
I mean, if I was a car company, I'd be complaining about why should Toyota make a better car cheaper?
I agree. So the dollar's been a free fall. That's been helping gold and silver. That's been helping risk assets like copper and helping a variety of other things like exports. And also creating a risk on attitude for, you know, equities. Natural gas prices exploding with this big summer storm. Now they're talking about what do we have here? We have, I don't know what that was called, the super cyclone, I think it was.
No, that's coming. The bomb cyclone.
The bomb cyclone is coming. What about the vortex? Where's that?
The vortex we haven't seen for a while. That usually comes, it should have come and gone by now so it can affect the stock prices.
Yeah.
We just have not seen it.
The polar vortex.
Yeah, the polar vortex. I have not. That'll be next year.
And what do we have? What do we have last week? This week? What is this?
This is something else. They didn't give it a good name. Never caught on.
I need to be out of town in D.C. next week. I am so nervous.
Oh, I wouldn't go.
I have to go pretty much when that bomb cyclone is going to be passing by.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I'm going to go outside and just freeze in space.
You're not going to get home.
Ugh. Yeah, planes, you got to de-ice. That always makes me nervous with the de-icing. This looks like the spraying water.
Situation like that. It was like a blizzard or something. I was on a plane, and we were the last plane off the runway, and they were soaking us down with that stuff. And we were the last plane that left that day. We were just got out just in time, and they shut it down.
Did you watch that football game? Did you watch?
Yeah, I watched all the football games.
I mean, that was the
which one?
The was it the Bears game? Which game was within the snow?
Although it just. Yeah, the Denver game.
And
yeah,
did you see
snowing? I didn't watch the whole game because I watched the beginning. I said, "Oh, these guys, this will be an interesting game." And then I turned it on like I just left for about a half an hour. Somebody's a white Fiat. Is this the same game? Because it was green.
It was totally
the
green.
Game started.
They had a great sequence where they showed like a time lapse from the beginning to the end, or basically there was zero score after the blizzard started.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty hard to score in a blizzard in football.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It was crazy. All right, let's talk about a few other things. Can't keep track of this anymore, so we're just going to lay it out there. There was an announcement of tariffs on South Korean imports up to 25% after the administration accused Seoul of not living up to a trade deal reached last year. This was like Monday, I think, yesterday. In a post on social media, President Trump said he would increase levels on South Korea from 15% across the range of products, including automobiles, lumber, pharmaceuticals, and all other reciprocal tariffs. Now, South Korea was planning on voting on the framework of the agreement that there was not that was somewhat agreed on back when, you know, when all the tariffs were dropped because they were going to do something. They kind of didn't have a formal agreement, as we know. And they were supposed to do this in February. Well, the South Korean president came out and said, well, we're reaffirming our commitments. KOSPI was down about 1% on the news. And I don't know. Maybe it was the South Korean president's comments, but hit an all-time high of 3.5% by the close. Yeah. Huh. Crazy, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yep. Davos, what we learned, not much. A bit of a, I'm tagging it as a bifurcated view of the world. There's this one view that things are fine, you know, all ahead, let's go. And there's some that are like, not so much. We got this framework of a deal, a plan with Greenland, so there's no tariffs. Again, wax on, wax off, or Boy Who Cried Wolf or Taco, I don't care what you want to call it. But
who knows what it is, yeah.
We don't know.
Well, we don't know anything.
We know nothing. We know nothing. We're like Sergeant Schultz, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
We know nothing. Gold and silver off to the races. Silver. Oh, silver on Monday. That was out of control. It was up 15% in the early trade. It finished up about 5%, hovering around the 112 area, 110, 111 area. Let's see right now where it is, shall we? Silver's trading at 113.59. And just to be clear, over the past year, do you know this number or not? Do you know how much it is up over the last 1 year?
It's ridiculous. It's like it's lots.
271%.
Yeah.
Its recent high was at 114.25. That was at 10 in the morning on January 26th, yesterday.
Yeah.
And then it backed off hard. And then today it started backing off.
They're trying to keep it from exploding, so that's why it keeps backing off hard, because it could go to
God bless you. This is something here. This is something. Bitcoin, meanwhile, has proven it is not. So, wait, let me back up. why is gold and silver moving so much? That's what people want to know. What is the story? Gold over 5,000 an ounce. And there's two things, right? You talked about last week, and we've talked about, you and I on a sidebar, about the use of silver as an industrial metal, and in particularly in, we'll talk technology, semiconductors, computers, et cetera, right?
And batteries.
And batteries. And especially that they came out with the use of the silver with the lithium that allowed for batteries to last far longer than they did in the past. That was your...
That's supposedly a patent that Samsung owns that everyone's going to have to adopt because it prevents fires.
Right. What I think has happened when you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin's at about 89,000. That gold, well, let's stick on gold for a second. Gold has proven to be the debasement hedge, the geopolitical concern hedge, and the place to be when there's a lot of uncertainty. That doesn't mean it has to be bad uncertainty. This is uncertainty. Because if we were to say it's bad uncertainty, we'd have to say that the markets are down, right? The markets are not down.
No, the markets are up, and so is gold.
Yeah, one thing is happening is, I mean, the biggest market that's hit, if we were to talk about a market that is problematic, it's the Japanese bonds. They have gotten slugged with the recent move in their yields. Yen's moving up in value against the dollar, and the JGBs are getting absolutely smoked as yields are gaining because there is such a discrepancy between the bonds and how they're priced and what the economy is really doing in a good way.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, bonds. Yeah, JGBs are getting just killed. Let's see if I can get a little reading on this. Do I have this here? Let's see. JGB bonds. But it's been a lot. I mean, they're at a multi-decade high. Let's see. January 2026, Japanese government bonds are experiencing severe volatility and a sharp sell-off with a 10-year breaking above 2.38%, a 27-year high. Long-term bonds are moving significantly. The 30-yield yields jumping 75 basis points in less than 3 months, and the 40-yield bonds breached 4%.
Oh, so they're normalizing, basically.
Exactly. Political developments, because we know that there's a potential for a snap vote coming. That's happening.
Yeah, I wonder why they're doing that personally, but...
That's a whole different government process, isn't it?
Yeah, and this prime minister, who seems to be very likable, and she seems to like Trump, is quite the character. She jumps around a lot, and... It's like a little cheerleader that happens to be the prime minister. It's very funny.
Well, it's working. I mean, until recently. So I think some of the concern is that many of her initiatives, and that's what's going to happen with a snap election, that it will be, if she's reelected, if you will.
Every time I've seen these snap elections by these overconfident prime ministers, it's happened in England, it's happened elsewhere, it doesn't perform. The idea is that you're going to load up. You're so popular.
Yeah.
You know, I am so popular that I can call an election. I'm going to win again. And my party is going to increase in size so enormously that I can do whatever I want once the dust clears.
Yeah.
And that I've never seen it work.
Well, it's okay. Supposedly a referendum on what their position is, right?
Yeah, it's like, do you agree with us? Yeah.
Yeah. Let's double agree. There's a secondary agreement.
Yeah, it says doubling down.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I find
Thank
that...
God we don't have that in this country.
Well, yeah, we'd have snap elections every week. But what's interesting is that what's happening here is that her policies are such that they're causing concern about the financials. Status, if you will, of Japan, of the inability for Japan to meet their obligations because it's going to be even less money coming in from various sources, taxes, etc., to fund the government and the expenditures. That's why the bond, one of the reasons the bonds are selling off and normalizing. So there's two things. But again, I think all this just leads me once again to the disproven belief that Bitcoin was the place to be if the dollar is going to move down. I mean, Bitcoin didn't move today at all. It's at a 4-year low, the dollar.
It's taken on a life of its own.
Yeah. But it's not what
their whole idea was, a hedge, you know, the dollar goes, you know, as the economy collapses, you're going to have your Bitcoin. Well, you really want the gold and the silver, it seems to me.
I agree.
Especially silver.
And the funny thing was the con job about, you know, all companies should have Bitcoin on their treasury share in treasury, and how the ETFs are going to make this skyrocket. What they did move them up, don't get me wrong. And, you know, all the things that they promised to be, you know, what it could do with the blockchain and, you know, the alternative currency and the easy transferability, the less friction and lower cost for, transaction. I don't know. It seemed like it was just a giant money grab to me.
Yeah, but who's grabbing the money?
Well, God bless them. Whoever it is, it's fine. It's fine. But that's what it is. Let's call it as it is.
Well, you know, I just wished I'd bought a bunch of it at 25 cents.
Yeah, well.
But the thing is, I always tell people this. You know, well, you could have got it at 25 cents. I know when it was at 25 cents or a dollar. If say you had bought $10,000 worth at a dollar.
$10, you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
$10, you're out.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Oh, look at me! Look at me!
$1, and then kept it at 400.
Yeah,
and then kept it.
Right. You have to be a special kind of person to be doing that.
Or lost your wallet, which my son did.
Yeah, lost your wallet, has he ever found it?
But of course, he can't find it. So it's like, you know, his lost wallet, just lost money. He didn't pay anything for the Bitcoin, but he lost his wallet because it's so long ago.
Yeah.
And so now he doesn't have that. Maybe a coin or two. I have no idea. To be honest,
a coin or two would pay off. Two coins, it's 160 grand.
Coins would be good for a couple of years, yeah. But still, what difference is it making? Either would have sold earlier or lost the wallet. Those
right.
are the two options.
Right. Which is more painful psychologically?
I think selling early would be more painful.
I think so too. Because you still have the hope that one day you'll find that wallet.
Yeah, you might find the wallet someday.
Someday. Oh, somebody's going to find it. Somehow they're going to know it's me. I don't know how, but you know, they'll figure it out with this hash.
Undo the trade.
Yep. The economy is still strong. The U.S. economy has expanded in the third quarter by slightly more than it was initially reported. So we're revising it to about 4.4% on an annualized rate, the fastest in 2 years. Consumer spending advanced at 3.5% annualized pace in the last quarter, which again was the fastest pace of outlays for the service area in 3 years. So that's good. Amazon, on the other hand, is trimming. They're cutting 30,000 jobs in total. As a matter of fact, I think I'll give you the punchline to this before we go to the rest. There was a news item that I don't know why this is a big deal either, but Amazon sent out the notification of the firings earlier than was anticipated by accident, which I don't know what that matters. If it's a day in advance, who cares? I mean, unfortunately. If you know you're getting, if you knew there was something coming down the pike, whether you got it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, what's the difference?
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
Yeah. So the first half of the 30,000 job cuts happened in October, and now they're going to be laying off the remainder. Now, CEO Jassy once again said, and he stressed this, that it's not a financial or anything to do with AI issues. Again, they're pressing that button of, make sure to not tell anybody that has anything to do with AI. Layoffs amount to 10% of the corporate workforce. Company still has 1.5 million employees. And this is primarily corporate level layoffs.
Well, they're probably overstaffed.
They are, obviously, by 10% at least. Spirit Airlines in talks with investment firm Castle Lake for a potential takeover. This all started when JetBlue said they wanted to merge, and the Biden administration said, no, that would not be good for the Spirit Airlines or people. Okay. Dumb.
Yeah, this is a complaint of yours. It's like the bare feet at the airport complaint.
Well, it's still, everything
never ends.
Do you realize a lot of things regarding airports now they think about it? There's a lot of travel related issues I have.
Yes, you do.
I got to look into that.
Have you ever flown Spirit?
Yeah, I love Spirit.
I love Spirit.
I've had only good experiences on Spirit. I flew to Guatemala
Why
one time.
Why do they have such a bad rep, you think?
I don't know. Spend the extra $75 and sit in first class. $75. Free booze. Comfy seats like you'd sit in your living room. Comfy, cushy seats.
So you recommend flying first class.
$75 extra to get to bump yourself up.
Well, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah. I flew to Guatemala. I paid whatever, like $300 for the ticket, and I paid $75 to go into first class. It's not a true first class. It's like a business class. And you're not flying very long and very far, but it's 3.5-4 hours. And you got literally this big comfy seat, and they're just throwing bottles of Tito's at you the whole time. What's wrong with that?
That sounds like a winner.
Yeah. So
that's the tip of the day for you.
Yeah. Definitely. So Frontier tried to pick them up. No good. So they went bankrupt to trying to pull their head above water. If you remember, I think it was Alaska Airlines and Frontier also tried to kill them by moving some of their routes to the areas that Spirit would fly out of. And they have a big hub here in Fort Lauderdale.
They do.
Yeah. Did you see this article, this piece? Booz Hamilton, the Booz Allen Hamilton. You know, this is a group that caters to the government. Job placements, various contracts. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent canceled department contracts with the firm because their employee leaked President Donald Trump's tax records to the New York Times. This was really fascinating. So between 2018 and 2020, this employee, Edward Littlejohn, stole and leaked the confidential tax returns and return information of hundreds of thousands of taxpayers. I don't know why he did such a thing. That's first of all. Second of all, why in the world does Booz Allen Hamilton have people's tax returns?
That's what I'm wondering.
I do not understand. Why did they have Trump's tax return?
There's probably a reason.
I tried to look into this. There was nothing I could find. Now I think he pled guilty to this. Stock is down 50% since the end of 2024. You lose those big contracts and you kind of piss off the government. It's not going to help.
Yeah, that is not going to help anything.
No. Here's something. We've been talking about this, you and I, around in circles about this, but something I brought up, and I've been saying that I'm a little bit concerned about this. This is the one thing that's kind of, you know, they say, what keeps you awake at night? And let's just say that it doesn't keep me awake. It just doesn't allow for a fully restful sleep. And that is private credit. Private credit is an area of alternative investing. There's private equity, private credit. This is where companies will get like amass a bunch of money from investors, and they'll go out and try to fund various different things through lending, through credit. So maybe there's companies that are looking for the opportunity to expand, but for whatever reason, they can't go the traditional routes. 100 different reasons why. Choose not to. It's unavailable to them at this stage of their existence in the world of their company's, you know, process. And private credit will give it to them. Say, you know, here's the deal. Maybe we're going to own a small piece of your company for doing so. We're going to charge you 10% plus this and that, whatever it is. Well, there has been a big concern that private credit is grown so dramatically so quickly that possibly some of the underwriting has gotten sloppy. And when the economy slows down, that's when we're going to see some of these problems come out. Well, BlackRock TCP Capital shares were lowered by about 13% on Monday after it disclosed Friday night at a late night dump. They do this sometimes. They throw this stuff out in the public domain Friday night when you're having your cocktails so you don't think about it and you got the whole weekend to forget about it. But people didn't forget about it because on Monday the stock declined because their net asset value somehow declined by 19%.
Oh, God.
So that means, what that means is, just to clarify this, the net asset value is the valuation of the underlying securities in their portfolio was marked down by almost 20% since the last time they did the mark.
Now, is this the stuff in their portfolio specifically or the assets under management?
This is the stuff in their portfolio specifically.
So the assets under management have not been, there's nothing there.
Yeah, BlackRock is not. This is a particular private credit. This BlackRock TCP, something credit partners, something, I don't know what the T stands for. But this is a fund that specifically BlackRock put together to do lending and private finance credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The company's net asset value on December.
So that was a bad. So they're not good at this, it sounds like.
No, it's not that they're not good at it. This is what's happening. That all this was built up on the idea that private credit, all these companies would do well and money was being sent out all over the place. It's not just them. And by the way, just to throw a little bit more gasoline on this, the 19% that I mentioned was from their last mark. Hang on a second. The company's net asset value as of December 31st, 2025 was expected to be about 705 to 709, which is a quarterly reduction since the end of September. That's how fast this came down. The decline is primarily driven by issuer specific developments during the quarter. And, you know, other companies like Owl, OWL, down 3%, Aries down 3%, KKR down 2%. Not as much, but I'm telling you, there's something percolating out there in the world of private credit. I have heard that liquidity is absolutely dried up in that sector.
Example?
We saw this with Owl. We saw this now. This is why these are being marked down, because liquidity, people are not buying it for the price. Therefore, liquidity is not there and you got to mark it down. You mark it down and you're like, okay, look, it's like anything else. I'll sell my house to you for $1 million. No buyers. That means there's no liquidity, right? I'll sell it to you for $750. No buyers. No liquidity. Where's the number? Well, maybe at $500. I just did a 50% markdown, and that's where I got my liquidity, meaning that the market is overpriced for where it needs to be to provide a smooth flowing economic model for that market. So there's no liquidity because nobody's willing to pay for it at those prices. Now, on the other hand, we have some good news. Zoom Communications, you know those guys.
We're using them as we speak.
As we speak. Which, by the way, solid platform, I think. I use it for a whole host of things.
It has a low latency. It's a lot better than a lot of stuff I've run into.
Yep. There's a stock move on Zoom recently that took the stock to a pretty significant high. Why? Because there was an analysis to show that Zoom's investment in Anthropic, which they put in initially $51 million, can now be worth between $2 to $4
billion. nice move, yeah. Zoomers.
A hidden gem on the balance sheet.
Yeah.
So the company's performance also got better, but this is pretty good. So 41.2% non-GAAP operating margin, which is pretty good. Big gains from unrealized gains from its AI investments. Stock has done very well. On the other hand, you may be saying, what stocks aren't doing well? How about UnitedHealthcare today. Did you take a look at that? What went on there?
No, I'm completely unfamiliar with what happened.
So overnight, the administration decided that this is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, came out with their Medicare Advantage reimbursement rates. In the past years, it's been anywhere from, let's say, call it 3 to 5%. That on an annually, they say, okay, the reimbursement rates will be that from the government, and that would be what the various insurers could count on. Okay, make sense?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a payoff. It was the whole thing was created as a bribe to the insurance companies to keep financing Democrat legislative people.
Well, if that's the case, the administration said, you know, we're going to give you 0.09% increase in 2027. So, you know, through the next year. And that was far below the 4 to 6%.
They shouldn't give them any increase. They shouldn't be getting the money at all. Why are we subsidizing insurance for people by giving direct payments to insurance companies?
I would agree with you, but it's
for them. They still gouge the customers.
Well, it's for the Medicare. It's the Medicare payment that goes to the insurance companies for the various services. So there's not going to be any increase allowed for the services, and thereby not paid to the insurance company. Right? You know, from the Medicare.
Yeah.
So UnitedHealthcare, that, and they came out with some other earnings information, down 20% today.
Looks like a nice thing to pick up.
Well, could be. Maybe somebody has it on the game already. You don't know. It's possible.
Yo, that's what you have on there. That's not listed.
UnitedHealthcare has
falling knife.
Yeah, I know. I
or a dead cat bounce. Yeah. One of the two.
Right. UnitedHealthcare has significant exposure to Medicare Advantage, roughly 30% of national enrollment, making it really vulnerable. So, I don't know. The CVS Health and Elevance Health were dropped about 13 to 14%. Humana dropped about 21%. Could it be, sir, that once again, this will be one of those wax on, wax offs? Could it be that this is really a negotiation component rather than just an edict? That they'll come in and they'll say, you know what, okay, we reviewed this and we saw what you wrote us and the cost of this is going up, et cetera, and that. You know, we'll meet you halfway. And then what happens to the stock?
Skyrockets.
Just think about it. Just something for you to think about. Something for you to chew on, sir.
Well, that's why you put it on the game.
I don't know if I put it on the game. Did I put it on the game? Oh, yeah, I did.
I did.
You
got one there I can't see.
Yep, there it is. Yep.
All right, let's make it a purple. I'm jumping on that one.
Okay. You want to talk about the earnings coming out this week? Tech earnings? Can you actually go down and look at that table? You see that table? Isn't that a nice table?
Let me find a table. Hold on.
That's embedded right in there. You see that?
You do that. You embed these tables. That's why people should go to the website more often.
Yeah. DHUnplugged.
Well, they're there, by the way. They should kick the donate button.
Oh.
And help the show.
Yeah. That'll be a kick that's worthwhile. If you haven't done so, by the way, you should feel very bad about yourself. Just letting you know that. I'm not going to start with like a whole chain letter kind of thing that if you don't do it, it's bad luck and all. I'm not going to say that. But I'm just telling you, it's something you should do. Go over to dhunplugged.com, find the yellow button and click on it and donate at will. Point is, I was making, I put this into one of the, I think I put this as a Google Gemini. I said, do me a favor, make me a table, HTML coded, that shows the earnings coming up this week, the report date, the estimated EPS, and what I should be looking at. And pop right out. Just like that.
Well, that was nice.
Isn't that nice?
It probably cost $20 to do that.
Yeah, I know.
And right. You got it for next to nothing.
14 gallons of water consumed.
14 gallons of water. You're ruining the country.
I'm such a bad man. All right, let's go through this quickly. What I'd like to say is go over to the website because this lists when the earnings are coming out. the expectation of earnings and revenue, as well as what we're looking at, what we're focusing in on. For example, for Microsoft, which is going to be on the 28th, which is tomorrow after the close. Earnings per share estimated to be about $3.86 on about $80 billion of revenue. Now, by the way, all of the names, most of the names we're talking about here, are going to be also CapEx related. What are they spending or not spending? Meta is going to be a big one in that area. Meta does these massive overcommitments of capital. Like, massive. Now, if they come
in, they
know
how to spend money.
He's good at that. Mark Zuckerberg has spent a lot of money in his day.
I think he wastes it.
He did so on the metaverse. Remember that? Where is he? Where's the hello metaverse? Where are you?
No, but it was money. It wasn't well. I mean, yeah, you're going to lose money on some of these things like that, and he did. I think $72 billion or something is. I don't know what the number is. Outrageous. But is that, was the expense of the money well managed? Was it, how much squandering was going on?
Do you remember how much that stock fell during the whole metaverse process?
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible. So.
It was a good time to pick it up.
Yeah.
$100.
Yep. Easy. So right now there's a lot of spending going on, and If Meta comes in over the top, it may hurt the shares. If it comes in under, it may help the shares. We're going to look at things like Azure and cloud growth for Microsoft, things that are going to be the big issue is, I think, in margin. Margin stability has been something that everybody's been calling into question because they've been spending so much money and we haven't seen the payoff for the most part. You know, there's not a lot of revenue coming in for all this. It's still a lot of smoke and mirrors. Then we got Tesla coming in.
It was paying off fine for a while, and then they get carried away. These guys don't know when to stop.
Right.
Which is, you know, was the mentality to get where you are, which is the kind of the catch 22. When you have the mentality to get where you are, you're not going to change your practices.
Correct. You don't back down. You're not wrong.
No,
you're never wrong.
You have to be fired. You have to be fired. Yeah. The board should fire the people that are doing it. You know, they should have a clue and fire them.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, Tesla.
Tesla's coming out again also January 28th after the close. That's tomorrow, Wednesday. Expectation about 40 cents, revenue about 24 and 25 billion. Meanwhile, this stock is valued so high that it makes my nose bleed just talking about it.
What is the EPS on it?
EPS is looking to be about 40 cents. P.E. ratio is something absurd.
Yeah, what's the P.E. ratio? That's actually what I meant to ask.
Let's see. Tesla.
It's got to be. Is it over 100?
288.
What?
Yeah, 288.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Now, what they'll do is here.